9:31 in Cascadia. You're listening to KBOO. This is Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. I'm Teresa Mitchell. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing, featuring 100% natural fiber clothing for our women and men, real clothing for real people. Proud to sponsor the important voice of KBOO. Gazelle is located at Northeast 41st in Fremont and can be reached at 503-288-3422. It says fiber, that's F-I-B-R-E, fibre is different, I think. Well, thank you. My assistant has brought me some information. I'll start again. Okay, this is Teresa Mitchell and the news you're not supposed to know. Press Watch. And I would like to invite your calls. The Republicans seem to be imploding. What shall we do about it? Let me give you a bit more news about that. The number to call, by the way, 503-231-8187. Article by Tom Rahm, AP writer. He notes, for nearly a quarter century, Karl Rove has been George Bush's political mentor. Bush calls him the architect, the boy genius. Others have called him Bush brain, Bush's brain. Now, with a federal grand jury nipping at Rove's heels in its CIA leak investigation, the president may have to contemplate the previously unthinkable, managing without his right-hand man. Rove helped Bush create a political persona and steered him to victory in two Texas gubernatorial and two presidential races. He polished Bush's message, nurtured ties with conservatives, oversaw crisis control, and helped frame major policy initiatives. He's the president's alter ego on political and domestic policy, said veteran Republican strategist Charles Black. While Rove's most important past service to Bush as campaign strategist is no longer needed by Bush, he's still very valuable in terms of running domestic policy, Black said. How's that for putting the best sort of shine on what Rove does? Yeah, Mr. Rove, he's sort of flavored things, hasn't he? Sort of like unfortunate things in the punch bowl. We have calls. Wonderful. People are up. They're awake. I was able to say gubernatorial and not flub it. That's pretty good. Are you awake, caller?
Hey, how are you, Teresa?
I'm pretty
wake
good.
Wake up! The Republicans aren't that much discombobulated.
It's overblown.
It's what the meadowlark does in the field, a broken wing trick. They lead you away from the nest by faking injury.
Oh, help! It's my wing! Don't look at the nest.
Exactly. And in the nest, the CIA, which is sort of kicking the props out from under him, and FBI, it's kind of merged into one, FBCBIBAB, is bringing a tremendous pressure, jamming the website of our friend Mike Rupert, or KBOO's friend Mike Rupert. Actually, should be Portland and America's friend, who wrote Crossing the Rubicon. And
well, now you said lots of things there. What's your source? What makes you say those things?
So yesterday I was having trouble. Well, I got an email from him yesterday saying that their website was being jammed, and I could not get to fromthewilderness.com. And there's a...
I think he rerouted it because I tried to pull it up and it came up as Cop v. CIA.
Cop versus CIA, yeah, mm-hmm. Cop v. CIA, which is his history. You know, he was the cop who busted the CIA drug runners bringing crack into L.A. That was his moment of turning against what he'd always thought was the good guys. I mean, he's a four-square regular LAPD cop, and then he... His whole Vision of America bubble pops when he starts to arrest the CIA, and they say, no, no, we're running this country, and we need this crack cocaine in L.A.
And he wasn't able to go through with that because of the power. But
CIA.com is the mirror site, and it takes donations. There's a posting on there, SOS, I need money, and a big explanation, and if any listeners have money, that's the best place you could spend it.
Okay, well, so your counsel on the whole Republican implosion thing is don't take it too seriously because it's a dodge.
Well, take it seriously enough that those people are going to be removed and out of our pain, but we're not going to be out of pain because the oppressors, continue the crankdown. For example, the bird flu BS, it's anthrax, the sequel, and who is doing this? And it's not Mr. Bush, it's not Mr. Rove, although they may be party to it. You want actually to get to the active agent, the lab character who's handling this stuff or whatever. They'll be out of our pain, but we will not be out of pain. I like that.
Okay, well, thanks for your call. And actually, I'll continue on that segue a little bit. Waiting a week before raising the alarm of the possible infection of some of the demonstrators and D.C. citizens exposed over the September 23rd and 24th weekend, many by whom, by that time, having long departed far and wide to their various home states across the nation. This is not the strangest thing about the tularemia storia. Hey, I said gubernatorial. It's not the strangest thing about the story, which was run in the Washington Post in October and since broadly picked up. I'm not actually going to be able to use that because it printed crooked. Darn. I wrote something about this on Portland Any Media and got posted with interesting counterposts. And I wrote, it would appear now that Homeland Security alert regarding tularemia is being spun. As the anti-war demonstrators did their thing in D.C. in late September, bio-war sensors at the Capitol, I think about a dozen of them, according to the Washington Post, registered unusual amounts of tularemia. Now they're suggesting that perhaps the feet of the demonstrators stirred up the bacteria from the soil. But if that were true, why has no other demonstration stirred up a U.S. biowar arsenal bacterium? Tularemia is perfect for attacking demonstrators. It doesn't spread. There'd be no contagious outbreak. Now that they are dispersed across the nation, their symptoms would appear to be similar to the common cold, muscle aches, mild fever, etc. at first. The symptoms are unlikely to be diagnosed without a larger national awareness, however, and they slowly progress to painful and disfiguring conditions and then death. Hence, the attack could pass completely unnoticed, except for the condition of the demonstrators and their grieving families. The only notice might be in a spike of tularemia cases in the following year's CDC reports. The national list for the demonstrations need to be reactivated to warn of this threat, and if, as I suspect, it actually occurred as a government attack, the outrage should be used to bring down this monster government once and for all. Then that was followed by, as my original post was, by someone strongly saying that I don't have any evidence, and, you know, this is not journalistic. And, of course, it's not journalism, it's polemics. And my response was, why would I accuse the government of the Tuskegee non-treatment syphilis experiments of biological attacks? Why would I accuse the people who can't find any data about the 2001 anthrax attacks of such duplicity? I'd bet an original smallpox blanket that either A, tularemia was released on some of the higher-value demonstrators, B, tularemia detection was delayed by a week in order to ensure confusion, or C, the whole shebang was cooked up by Rove to let demonstrators know that their lives could be forfeit at any minute. Why would you assume that the whole group would be attacked? Why would you assume that those infected would realize by now what is making them feel tired? There's no mechanism, no funding to track down each demonstrator and check on their health. And meanwhile, the corporate-owned media will keep minds buzzing about some other subject. That's why I labeled this a bio-attack, because this government is sleazy enough to have to prove a negative. I'm a polemicist, precisely because polemics are the knives of the powerless. Let the Bushites deny that they released tularemia, and let them explain why in hell they can't solve or at least make progress on the anthrax attacks. Are you reading this, Philip Zach? It is irresponsible to pretend that this historically criminal government can be trusted to investigate itself. Number to call if you have comments, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And, back to Bush's brain, if Rove is forced to resign, it would be a major blow to a presidency already reeling from low approval ratings, the war in Iraq, rising gas prices in the aftermath of two Gulf Coast hurricanes. Some Republicans suggest the investigation has already taken a toll, weakening and distracting Rove. Some even suggest the botched early response to Hurricane Katrina and the flash of indignation from the political right over the Harriet Myers Supreme Court nomination might have been averted had Rove been more hands-on. That's interesting imaginings from Tom Rahm, AP Press writer. Now, the way I view things, you can take Rove out of his official position in the White House, and he'd still be there in every sense, because that's how he operates. But I'll go to the caller here. Hi, you're on the air.
I have a question from ancient history.
Okay.
the hole in the wall of the Pentagon, it was apparently on a wing undergoing construction, and there was nobody there, hardly anybody there. Thing is, I saw a film clip showing that it was some kind of missile, and I just wonder whether anyone's looking into that. Okay,
I think that people are, and it's one of those things that's so confusing.
Well, what about you know, there was a video done by the gas station man. I saw this film clip, and it said that the FBI came into the gas station and made him give it up. There was a video of the missile.
Yeah. Well, the whole 911 thing stinks to high heaven. I mean, why in the world would an FAA official go and cut up the tapes of the the audio transmissions from the planes and the air traffic controllers into little bitty pieces and scatter them from him to yon?
Yeah, it's amazing what these people get away with. Is nobody watching? I mean, do we depend on a gas station owner?
Well, that's why I won't let this tularemia thing drop. I mean, it may be nothing. But there's no reason to assume that. I mean, it could be deadly to assume that sort of thing. And I'm sorry, the Homeland Security doesn't get to say, oh, there's tularemia on those demonstrators. And then you say, oh, never mind.
Right. They're really extraordinarily clumsy, don't you? Or is the clumsiness just put on?
Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? I think it's really, when you get down to it, some of it may have been released, but they also get the benefit of having this frightening information out in exactly the circles that actually I'm spreading it in right now, saying, look how far they might go to attack dissent in this country.
Yeah.
And we just have to be stronger than that.
They've gone to a frightening extent, but I think they've just, I am an aged activist, and I refuse to be frightened. And I think if we refuse to be frightened, I think there's enough of us so that people do sort of sit up from endlessly going to Walmart, and they do notice. Don't you think?
That's what Cousy Turi said about Martin Luther King. He said the greatest legacy, I think, well, I can't remember if he used the word legacy, but one of the greatest things that Martin Luther King provided to people was not to be afraid.
Yeah. Right. I know. If you're not afraid, then they really, it's amazing. It's amazing how they, especially the fundamentalists, they just have no reply because they have no political sophistication. They barely understand. They're just told, and then it's all God, you know. And so it's all cannot be questioned, you know.
Yes. Yes,
well,
God said, and that's that.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. Rove's title, that of Deputy White House Chief of Staff, hardly shows the enormous influence he wields. Rove has already testified 3 times in the probe into whether an administration official deliberately leaked the identity of covert CIA operative Valerie Plame, whose husband is an administration critic. Rove has agreed to testify again, possibly this week, and prosecutors have told him they can no longer assure him he'll escape indictment. Indictment. I love that word. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Knowingly revealing the identity of a covert agent is a federal crime. And the funny thing is, departing from the text here, it was Bush Sr. who was really big on making that a federal crime. It came about after the results of, after the efforts of Philip Agee, who intentionally exposed CIA agents in various countries where they were destabilizing the sovereignty of those countries. And, you know, that doesn't really cover what they were doing. They were doing nasty things to make sure that the poor stayed very poor and that the Washington loyal elite stayed in power. And he revealed the the identity of several covert agents. And, you know, the big blow in Washington after that was, oh, they put them at risk. You know, they could be gunned down. They could be kidnapped. And, I suppose they could unless you withdraw them immediately. But it was an act of civil disobedience by AG, and he was trying to take some direct action against the fact that the CIA so ordinarily goes to countries around the world and screws things up. And you have to ask yourself, what's the philosophy that allows them to sleep at night? Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald is trying to determine if White House aides violated the law in an attempt to get back at Plame's husband, former career diplomat Joseph Wilson, for his assertions that the administration intentionally exaggerated Iraq's nuclear capability to pump up support for an invasion. Rove has acknowledged that he discussed Wilson's allegations with reporters, But he said he was not the one who revealed Plame's identity. Vice President Dick Cheney's chief of staff, Louis Libby, also has acknowledged talking to reporters about the Plame case. The Plame game. Let's play the Plame game. People familiar with Rove's testimony have told the Associated Press that Bush asked him in the fall of 2003 for assurances he was not involved in an effort to divulge Plame's identity and punish Wilson, and Rove told the president he was not. At first, the White House flatly denied that Rove had been involved. Bush promised to fire anyone on his staff, remember that, responsible for such a leak. He later stepped back, saying that he would remove aides who committed crimes. At a news conference last week, Bush declined to say whether he would remove an aide under indictment. On Tuesday, he told NBC's Today Show, "I'm not going to talk about the case." And that's a quote. Others have speculated, departing from the text here, that Rove would remove Bush because he's the one that really has the power. Number to call if you have comments, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and you can be on the air. We have enough time to do that. Now, back to bird flu. This is interesting because bird flu is one of those things that you heard about on Press Watch some time ago, and briefly there, it was something that was quite talked about in the mainstream press, because Bush got up and said that he really thought that he should be able to sick the army on the population if they got infected, which was, I thought, an utterly bizarre thing. But, you know, in the context of bizarro world Bush, maybe it wasn't that strange. And many have speculated since that, gee, he'd just love to see a bird flu outbreak, because then he could be the dictator for sure, and the army would be telling us which camp to go to the first time we sneezed or coughed. Number to call if you have comments, 503-231-8187. Recombinomics.com has been following the bird flu outbreak. Diana Eka Defianti was hospitalized between September and October 4th in Jakarta, Indonesia, because of bird flu symptoms. After release, she had a relapse and entered the hospital and was transferred to another one, Sulianta Saroso Hospital, where she died 4.5 hours later. On Sunday, another transfer died 20 minutes after admission. Transfers of these patients raise serious questions about Indonesia's care and testing of these patients. Most patients initially are admitted into primary care facilities where they are not tested for bird flu. When the patients fail to recover, Jakarta patients are transferred to Sulianta Saroso Hospital, where they are retested. But H5N1, that's bird flu, has then moved to the lungs, so the nose and throat swabs come out negative. The two most recent deaths happened within 5 hours of hospital transfer. These patients are not placed on the list of suspect bird flu cases until they are admitted to the infectious disease hospitals. It's unclear why the transfers are just prior to death, but the relationship between the transfer and placement on the suspect bird flu list needs clarification. Monitoring of H5N1 remains scandalously poor. That's according to Recombinomics.com. Also on bird flu, the UK, this is from the Daily Mail, is at risk from the most virulent strain of bird flu, according to Britain's chief veterinary officer. Diseased birds from Turkey have tested positive for the deadly H5N1 strain after being sent to the UK for analysis. The outbreak of avian influenza occurred in the Asian part of Turkey and was first detected earlier this month. Britain's top veterinary officer said a rapid risk assessment would be carried out after the birds tested positive. She said a full contingency plan was in place in case bird flu was confirmed in poultry in the UK. She said it was not yet known whether the birds in Romania had the same deadly strain. Confirmation that highly pathogenic avian influenza has been found in Turkey and that avian influenza is now in Romania is of concern, she said. It shows there is a risk to the UK, and this is a developing situation which we are monitoring closely. Of course, the big question here is, when will the virus recombine, and what virulence will it have if it recombines into a human transmissible form? It would appear that it has something like a 50% kill rate in its current avian form. In other words, you get it from a bird, there's, you know, flip the coin as to whether you're going to live. Time is 9:51. If you have comments on today's topics, the number to call is 503-231-8187. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and this is Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. The Raw Story reports Cheney's role in the CIA outing is not known. Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, you know, I really enjoy reading all this information about the troubles of the Republicans. It's schadenfreude for sure, but, you know, I'm okay with it. Is it really schadenfreude if you feel some relief at the distress of such dedicated enemies? Maybe that's just that's a more natural thing. I don't know. Anyway, whether Vice President Dick Cheney had a role in the outing of covert CIA operative Valerie Plame Wilson. Plame's husband was a vocal critic of pre-war intelligence, but you already know that. The investigation into who leaked the officer's name to reporters has now turned towards a little-known cabal of administration hawks known as the White House Iraq Group, the WIG, which came together in August 2002 to publicize the threat posed by Saddam Hussein. WIG was founded by Bush Chief of Staff Andrew Card and operated out of the Vice President's office. Fitzgerald's examination centers on a group of players charged with not only selling the war, but according to sources familiar with the case, to discredit anyone who openly disagreed with the official Iraq war story. Now, I want to depart from this text and talk about the context. This little bit of shenanigans here is part of one of the ugliest things that we've seen in our lifetimes, and that is being lied into a huge, vicious, and quagmire-like war, an immoral and illegal war, where people are dying right now in droves, apparently. Something that, a disaster which grows bigger every day. A disaster which I find hard to exaggerate. After all, the whole area is dusted with radioactive uranium at this point. And the soldiers who are there, as well as all the Iraqis who have been near zones of our murderous activities, are breathing in dust that emits alpha particles, and which over time breaks down into daughter products which emit beta and gamma particles. It's like a whole country has been poisoned. And this Valerie Plame thing sheds a little light on just how they got around to lying to the American people to get us to go along with this atrocity. And I would very much like to see it go further, and I would very much like to see it bring down this group, and we'll just have to see what happens. But you know, what you do has an impact, and what you say in public and what you say to your representatives about this, or what indication you give that you're following the story, it has an impact. And this is one of these things that, well, like the tularemia, I guess, even more so, I'm sure, should not be allowed to slip past. They lied us into the war. Hello, they lied us into a war, a horrible and vicious attack. Time is 9:55. The group's members included Deputy White House Chief of Staff Karl Rove. We're talking about the group of the WIG group, the White House Iraq group. Karl Rove, Bush advisor Karen Hughes, Senior Advisor to the Vice President Mary Matalin, Deputy Director of Communications James Wilkinson, Assistant to the President and Legislative Liaison Nicholas Calio, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley, and I, Lewis Scooter Libby, Chief of Staff to the Vice President and co-author of the administration's preemptive strike policy. They're all in this group. Rice was later appointed Secretary of State. Her deputy Hadley was made National Security Advisor. Wilkinson departed to become a spokesman for the Military Central Command and later for the Republican National Convention. Hughes was recently appointed Undersecretary of State. Several members of the group have testified before Fitzgerald's grand jury. Two officials close to Fitzgerald told Raw Story they have seen documents obtained from the White House Iraq group which state that Cheney was present at several of the group's meetings. They say Cheney personally discussed with individuals in attendance at least two interviews in May and June of 2003 Wilson gave to the New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof and Washington Post reporter Walter Pincus, in which he claimed the administration twisted pre-war intelligence and what the administration should be. I just love the caution of AP writers. They get accused of being the liberal press. Oh, my God. That phrase, I want to read it again, in which he, meaning Ambassador Wilson, claimed the administration, quote, twisted, end quote, pre-war intelligence. That quote is actually in the text. He claimed the administration twisted pre-war intelligence. It was perfectly obvious. The details were about yellow cake form of uranium, which is semi-refined uranium, which has a long way to go to become bomb material, requires a very expensive technical extraction. And Wilson showed that the the paperwork that made this claim that Yellow Cake was going to Iraq for a bomb was completely bogus and made reference to people who weren't in power at the time that the document was signed. And it also came out that all of the tons of uranium coming out of Niger at that time were accounted for. They were going to a couple of sources, and there was not there were not hundreds of tons to be diverted, as the war sponsors claimed. And in other words, it was completely bogus. There's absolutely no question about it. And yet, this AP writer utters the phrase, well, not utters, but writes the phrase, in which he claimed the administration, quote, twisted, end quote, pre-war intelligence. Got to be careful. Talking about powerful people here. I hate that attitude. I hate it. How are these people journalists? Well, anyway, he writes, Cheney was interviewed by the FBI surrounding the leak in 2004. According to the New York Times, Cheney was asked whether he knew of any concerted effort by White House aides to name Ms. Wilson. Sources close to the investigation also confirmed that Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald is trying to determine Vice President Cheney's role in the outing of Ms. Wilson, more specifically, if Cheney ordered the leak. Those close to Fitzgerald say they have yet to uncover any evidence that suggests Cheney ordered the leak or played a role in the outing of Ms. Wilson. Still, the sources say they're investigating claims that Cheney may have been involved based on his attendance at meetings of the Iraq group, that Whig group we were talking about before. Previous reports indicate Cheney was intimately involved with the framing of the Iraq war. Cheney's kind of scarce these days. Rove's kind of scarce these days. And this is probably the reason why. Well, you've been listening to Press Watch. It's getting on to 10 o'clock. And so please stay tuned for more of the Incomparable Radio Zine. Next week I'll be talking with the author. Well, not the author, but the editor of... come on, brain. Do-do-do. Of the... Gee, I'll have to tell you next week. No, gosh, I hate it when that happens. Okay, I'll be talking with the editor of Project Censored. That's what it's called, Project Censored. Yay! Yay, brain! Okay, I'm done. It's 9:59. Stay tuned to KBOO Portland.